Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Justin Hune. He writes the Uranium Insider newsletter. I believe this is the second or third time that I've had Justin on the show to provide some insights on the broad uranium market and any nuance moves in some of the stocks. Justin, one thing that I've noticed throughout, I guess, this month broadly is that general lack of interest or investors being slightly distracted by some of these other markets that are moving much more than the uranium market, plus a number of the stocks, uranium stocks, have faded this month. They're not falling out of bed, and when you consider some of the gains that they put in, this is very much kind of a natural correction. But again, there has been general lack of interest and a general fade in some of the share prices. What do you think uranium investors or those looking or holding uranium stocks, what do they need to be aware of in terms of catalysts in the near term or news events that could move this market and bring in a few more eyeballs?
Yeah, well put. Thanks for having me on again, Corey. Appreciate it. It's been a quiet month so far, a quiet year, I guess you could say. The spot price continues to kind of stagnate around the $30 mark. The good thing about that is that the volume has been negligible. There's been less than 500,000 pounds traded on the spot market this year so far. And we're not even talking about purchasing by end users. We're talking about pounds that are theoretically moving back and forth between traders. And that's extremely low volume relative to other years. So the fact that the volume is low, but the price is holding is a good sign. And it's generally assumed that any sort of real volume coming into the spot market is going to be accretive to the price. The major catalyst that we're watching for now at this point, and by the way, this is seasonally kind of a slow time. It's should be warming up into the next couple of months as far as spot price action and equities following that action. But what we're watching for right now are a couple of points that are coming in next month. So on February 1st, we should hear an update from Kazatomprom. Kazatomprom is the largest uranium producer in the world in Kazakhstan. They produce, with all of their joint ventures, a total of about 23,000 tons of uranium a year, which is approximately 60 million pounds. And they had a four-month production halt due to COVID last year, which they continue to produce in their mines, their ISR mines. The flow continued through those wells during that halt, during that production halt. But they stopped well field development during that period of time. So they restarted that well field, drilling new wells. In ISR production, you have to constantly be drilling new wells to keep that production flowing, to move the lascivient into new areas of the ore body, in this case, sulfuric acid, to continue the production. And so they restarted that in August. And, those wells that were drilled then are just now being acidified, and it's the heart of winter, and there's increasing COVID cases happening in Kazakhstan right now. So it's really kind of a black box what's going on over there. We expect that their guidance for 2021 that we should be seeing on February 1st is going to be substantially less than what they were previously guiding. So they were guiding for a normal year, 23,500 tons, low 60 million pounds a year. I personally believe, based on my own modeling, that they're going to be somewhere in the low to mid 50s million pounds a year for this coming year. So the market's kind of anxiously awaiting news from Kazatomprom and kind of some updates on their operations and their guidance for the year going forward. The second piece is Cameco's quarterly conference calls on February 10th, on Wednesday the 10th. And they still have Cigar Lake shut down. In fact, they're producing 0 pounds at the moment out of Canada, which is wild. They still have their Catco JV with Kazatomprom in Kazakhstan that's currently producing. But we just want to hear, I think the market is mainly listening for guidance on when they're going to be restarting Cigar Lake. I actually believe they probably will restart that in March or April, unless there's increasing concerns still with COVID. But we'll see about that. We'll see what they say. So those are two pieces that the market is waiting for that are coming in the early part of next month.
So do you think initially some of that news out of Cameco restarting Cigar Lake Would that put some pressure on the underlying uranium price? Because in all fairness, one of the bullish arguments recently has been the Cameco has been cutting back and even stopping production.
Right. It's, you know, it's possible that if they announce that they will be restarting it in short order, that it could put some downward pressure. But it shouldn't in theory, because Cameco is not a spot market seller. Orano has traditionally been a spot market seller, and they have a minority stake in Cigar Lake's production. So it's possible that the market could take that as a sign that we should see some pounds coming into the market for the restart of Cigar, but they really shouldn't. Orano is in a tight spot. They had their Cominac mine in Niger will be closing next month as well. And they've had impacts to their Catco JV in Kazakhstan due to COVID. Actually, at the Catco mine, they announced there's, it was more than 100 positive cases that are just at Orano's JV mine. So it'll be interesting to see what happens out of that. At the very least, I think that Orano will be selling less, if nothing at all, possibly through the spot market. So you never know. I mean, Cameco is kind of it's a mixed bag with their conference calls. Sometimes they seem to just put their foot in their mouth and tank the market off of their call. And sometimes they can be incredibly bullish with their rhetoric, and they have the ability to control the market. Either way, I think that we start to see some increased spot market action next month into March. March could be strong into April. So if there's a pullback, you know, regardless of whether or not it's due to Cameco or the broad market, or whatever it might be, I see that as being a temporary opportunity to accumulate, which I plan to do if that happens. Otherwise, I think we're nearing kind of an end point of the consolidation within the next, let's say, 3 to 6 weeks. I expect the market to make a higher high in the spot price going up in that next leg, probably in Q2 of this year, which should put us into the mid to high 30s per pound spot. From there, it really depends on the volumes being purchased in the spot market by Cameco and Kazatomprom, and whether or not utilities take part in any of this. They could just sit on their hands a bit longer, but it would be great to see some participation from utilities this coming year.
So a move in uranium to, let's say, the mid-30s, even high 30s, that's a good 20%+ move. But is that enough to entice more companies to bring on production? Are companies even making money at that higher price if we do get into the mid or even high 30s?
The only companies that are making money at any price are the ones that are producing, and high 30s will not bring on any new production. So short answer, no, but long answer, you know, the companies that are currently producing, which essentially is Kazatomprom and any of their JVs. So they've got JVs with Cameco at the Inkai mine. They've got JV with Orano at the Catco mine. They have multiple JV mines with Uranium One, and they have some JV mines with Chinese companies. So these companies obviously will benefit from an increase in uranium price, as well as some traders who are speculating and had purchased in, you know, prices in this price range. So it's not going to bring on new production, but existing producers will see an increase in profit margins, of course.
Now, in terms of the demand side of things, we've talked a lot about the supply side, and that has been one of the major drivers, because it really does seem like the demand side is still relatively stuck at current levels, and some of those levels have been able to be satisfied by all this excess supply sitting outside of current production. Where does demand stand, and what's your outlook for demand as we progress through at least the first quarter, maybe even into the second half of this year?
The demand, from a structural standpoint, is relatively consistent. I don't see it changing a whole lot through this year. It's about the same as last year, which is roughly around 180 million pounds of uranium for the year. And without some drastic hit to demand, I expect that to be strong this year, slightly increasing next year, and then growing, you know, 1.5 to 2+% potentially up to 3%, depending on how current plans pan out towards the end of the decade. Short term, I would say that demand is, all of the short term demand is coming from producers. So Cameco and Kazatomprom are going to be the big spot market purchasers this coming, you know, in the next couple of quarters and beyond. Cameco needs to purchase around 10 to 12 million pounds off the spot market this year. And that's including Cigar actually producing. So if we see 4 months, let's say, of cigar closed down due to COVID, that's an additional 3 million pounds that Cameco will need to buy. That also continually impacts Orono, which has been a traditional spot market seller. You know, Orono has been selling, you know, 3 to 5 million pounds on the spot market per year for the past 5 years, let's say. And I don't think they're going to be selling any this year. It's quite possible they don't sell at all. It's even possible that they might be a buyer because of their impacts to both Cigar Lake, Catco, and the fact that Cominac is closing down next month. So those are the two big purchasers. The big demand for the spot market is going to be coming from them. The utilities, honestly, have the ability to sit on their hands longer. It's just the situation is basically that if they do, which they very well might, then we're setting up for, let's say, a softer, positive year this year, get us up into the high 30s, and potentially an explosive year for next year. The longer they wait to do any meaningful purchasing, whether that's on the spot market or especially with term contracts with Cameco primarily, who has their MacArthur River mine on care and maintenance right now, they need to sign a certain amount of contracts in the $40 a pound range, you know, $40-$45 a pound, in order to incentivize that mine to come back online. And the longer the utilities wait to actually take that step, the higher the likelihood it is that we see a price spike situation going 2022, 2023. So it's a mixed bag with the utilities. It's possible that they stay quiet this year still. And that obviously means less of an upside for us for the coming year, but probably a much more likely scenario that we see a huge price spike and a crazy uranium market similar to the previous one going forward beyond that.
So then when it comes down to some of the stocks, as I mentioned on the onset, they have generally drifted, but a lot of these stocks are at significantly higher prices than where they were, let's say, 6 months ago, even at the beginning of 2020. Where are you focusing your subscribers in terms of investment opportunities, understanding that maybe the upside in the uranium price is somewhat limited, or at least a skyrocketing price might not happen this year?
Right. Well, we're always looking for hidden value. I think that's something that we're always scanning the market to find. It's a small market. The uranium market only has around 60 publicly traded companies right now. So we're not doing a lot of speculation on explorers that have yet to make a discovery. So we focus more on either current producers or mostly developers, and developers that we think will have individual company catalysts. Those have been our biggest winners over the past year and a half, are companies that have individual catalysts that have gone a long way to shield the equity price and have an appreciative effect on the equity price, even when the market's been flat. So we continue to focus on companies that have, like I said, just individual company catalysts that will move the stock price regardless, even if we only see uranium go into the high 30s over the course of this year, which is, you know, a 30% almost price increase, which would be great for the sector. We want to invest in companies that are going to be moving forward and making moves that are appreciative to shareholders and the equity price, regardless of where the market goes.
So does that really just come down to the fact that companies need to be drilling, exploring, maybe expanding on current discoveries? That's where the real value is going to be created?
Sure, yeah. Explorers that have already kind of pinned something down and are working on expanding a resource in a good jurisdiction where, you know, this coming bull market, you actually could see either the company be acquired or take on a JV or potentially move towards production. Those are good companies to invest in my opinion. Otherwise, they're companies that are making acquisitions in the market. They are improving the company's share structure. They're not just kind of sitting on a deposit and raising capital every 6 months to a year just to keep the lights on. I prefer companies that are actually actively making moves in the market. And those are the companies we focused on. And it's worked well for us so far.
All right, Justin. Well, in all fairness, yes, I do agree with you, right? You need to be invested, I think, in companies that are out there doing work, trying to move their projects forward, not just playing a broad market or a broad bullish market outlook that really rising tide lifts all ships. You do want to be finding those companies that have a unique story and are advancing that story because that's what can outperform the market. And it can even weather downtrends in the underlying commodity price. So similar uranium outlook in terms of other metals. Make sure you're invested in active companies that are doing the work that you like to see. Justin, thanks for your time today. Good chatting with you. And thank you for the broad update for the uranium sector. I'll chat with you again in a few weeks.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much, Corey.